This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Are you ready for maybe a talented player on the Patriots?
No,
maybe,
way.
Maybe.
Where? Where are they?
Well, not right now.
Oh, okay.
They don't have
at
any
some
guys
point
now. At
Travis
least that they
Hunter,
play.
Come on down. Next year.
I mean, maybe Drake May at some point.
Maybe
although,
Drake May.
I don't know. Apparently, people don't want to play him. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that either.
Nope.
But maybe, just maybe.
That'd be great.
Davante Adams wants out of Vegas.
Oh,
maybe.
He's not coming here, Jones.
Maybe. Keith, maybe.
Yes, they could offer probably the best deal, right? Mm-hmm. The Raiders.
The Raiders.
They want a second-round pick. Nobody's going to be picking higher in the second round than your New England Patriots.
They got the top of the second-round market on lock.
I think Davante Adams would just as soon retire than play for the New England Patriots.
Well,
they're like, I'm done.
So there's this notion out there that he wants to win. And I don't know that I totally believe that.
What do you mean?
I don't know that
he wants to win.
I don't know that I believe that.
Why?
I know that's what's being circulated.
Everybody wants to win, Jones.
I think if you made sure he got paid the next couple of years, because his contract is up at the end of this year, you could entice him to come to a crummy situation like New England. And so we're going to start with that here today on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. There's a lot of ways you can get in touch. 617-779-7937. You can text the show at 37937. You can follow on Twitter and Instagram, Jones and Keefe. Watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, or on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. I think Davante Adams is a very interesting topic for a number of reasons. It could expedite the timeline for Drake May. That also aligns with some news that came out today on David Andrews that we'll get to. But the idea that Davante Adams wants out of Vegas, it could cost you up to a second-round pick, but it might be more like a 3 or a 4 if they are asking for a 2 and it's out there they want a 2.
Right.
It's
you noticed they didn't start with the 1. They were being more realistic about it.
It's probably going to cost you less.
Because when it cost them a 1 and a 2 a couple of years ago, and I remember wanting and you know, slamming the table for Davante Adams back then, and everyone's like, no, it's a 1 and a 2. I'm like, oh, my God. Can you imagine if you didn't have Cole Strange and Tyquan Thornton? Because that's what it would have cost you.
Right.
A couple of years ago, Strange and Tyquan Thornton for Davante Adams.
Imagine offering that straight up. Strange and Thornton for Davante Adams.
What?
Who says no?
They're like, well, it's a first and a second round pick. They're like, no, we want a fresh one. We want to make those picks.
We don't want
those guys. But, yeah, this is his third year with the Raiders. Obviously, the team has been a disappointment. He was unbelievable his first year. Last year was good for receivers, maybe a little step down for Davante Adams, but still was a stud. He's 32, right? Or he's about to be 32. So I don't know how many great years he has left. I do think he's still one of the 5 or 6 best receivers in football. He is the type of guy that I think could make an average quarterback better. Now, I don't know how much he can do with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. You know, he made Derek Carr look good for a little bit, but then even they made some changes. So I think this is obviously a guy that I would want. I just think there's no chance in hell that he would come here. Now, it's not like he has a no-trade clause, but can he kick and scream a little bit? I feel like a lot of football players have de facto no-trade clauses.
100%.
Like, well, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to sign. Either that or I need a new deal or whatever. And then it scares teams off. They're like, all right, well, then we're not going to sacrifice these picks and then have to haggle with you.
We talked about this the other week, too. Hassan Reddick should scare the crap out of people.
Yeah.
Hassan Reddick's like, I want a new deal. Go ahead and trade me, but I want a new deal.
Good job by Philly getting rid of him, getting the pick and moving on.
The Jets traded a third for him. He's not going to play.
Yeah,
so, like,
playing.
That should scare the crap out of people. I agree with you. Davante Adams has an effective no trade. Like, oh, you're going to trade me to New England? Great. I won't sign there. I won't show up. I won't play. And then what do they do? So does Davante Adams want to play for the Patriots in a vacuum?
No.
But can
However, can
the Patriots entice him? They could pay the most. You just said it. If you're going to lay a second-round pick on the table, would you give up a second-round pick? Regardless of if you're the is a second-round pick fair for Davante Adams?
Yes.
You don't think that's too much?
No.
Okay.
I think he's still really, really good.
So a second-rounder, let's say that's what it costs.
The Patriots traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu.
Fair.
Okay?
I mean,
so at this point, they should probably trade multiple ones
you
for
can
him.
Throw
if, that's
Sanu,
the, if that's the curve.
Throw Sanu into the Cole Strange, Tyquan Thornton trade.
Yeah.
You're still getting a win.
You could have had Davante Adams for all these guys.
So if you're willing to give up a second-round pick, I think that's going to trump what other teams are offering, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Jets or the Chiefs or, I mean, name your team, Pittsburgh.
I think the Buffalo Bills make
are giving
a ton
up
of
a second-round pick?
No. So what's weird to me is the Bills and the Chiefs both – the Chiefs are right. Because Patrick Mahomes is one without Tyreek Hill. But the Chiefs and Bills play it way differently than I would have. And that's sort of me being like an idiot, I guess. But, well, maybe not for the Bills because the Bills haven't won yet. So maybe I'm right on the Bills. Like, the Bills weren't in on DeAndre Hopkins a couple years ago. They weren't in on Calvin Ridley. It didn't seem like they weren't in on some of these other receivers that have changed teams. The Chiefs proved that they're like, all right, we have Kelsey. I know Rice is hurt now, but last year their thought process was, we got these guys and we have Mahomes. So Mahomes is kind of wide receiver proof. I wonder if Josh Allen needs this type of guy to get pushed over
the
top.
Put him over the hump.
Also, as an aside, I don't think the Raiders would deal Adams to the Chiefs. So I think that one, even if they had come up with a great offer, they might be like, no, we're not going to the Chiefs.
Okay.
But the Bills could come in. You know what? So two other teams that jumped out.
Yeah.
And I think even Schefter mentioned these two teams. The last two quarterbacks that Davante Adams played with and the two quarterbacks he likes.
Derek Carr and the Saints.
Yep, and Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Oh.
So Jets and Saints, I mean, if you're the Jets at this point with the ups and downs they have had, you've already turned the thing over to Aaron Rodgers. For better or worse, we'll see how the season pans out. You predicted worse, I predicted better. We'll see how the year goes.
It's been a mixed bag so far, yeah.
But don't you have to go down swinging and say, all right, we'll give you Davante Adams. If you can't win with Davante Adams, like, shame on us. Like, we really screwed up. We're going to start all over. But the fact that he's out there, you got to do it. I also think another sort of, like, subtopic to all this is maybe this is also the reason that you don't have to use a first-round pick on a wide receiver and why you don't have to overpay the Calvin Ridley's Hollywood Browns is even though CeeDee Lamb re-signed and some of these other guys re-signed, is there a stud like this every once in a while that's going to pop off and demand a trade from their team?
Yeah, maybe. And so I'm still nervous about the Patriots finding that receiver. Would you prefer Ridley, Ayuk, or Davante Adams? I think it's at least a debate. Like, Devontae's definitely
Adams
had the best
better,
career.
I think still.
Is he still, though?
I think so.
He had made, prior to last year, he had made six straight Pro Bowls and was first-team All-Pro 3 years in a row.
I think he sort of...
Last year, he had 103 catches, 1144, 8 touchdowns, which is still very good, especially considering the quarterback drop-off from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr to what last year? Aiden O'Connell and Garoppolo for a bunch of that year?
Oh, yeah, it was.
This year, it's been bad, Keith. 18 for 209 and a touchdown. I mean, that's what
Dude,
he's had
209?
Through.
Is that more than all of the Patriots combined?
I mean, he's an obvious upgrade for the Patriots, but if you're the Pats now, you're trying to get a young ascending receiver, right?
Still a 1,000-yard season, though.
Yeah.
He's like on pace for 1,000 yards.
Right, but that's after 1,144 the year prior and 1,500 the year before that. And now he's down to 1,000, and it's like 2 years ago I wanted DeAndre Hopkins, and it went away real quick with Hopkins. I wonder if Adams is on that track. So here's the question for you, Patriots fans. Are you interested in Davante Adams? They need a receiver. So is this the kind of guy they should get in on? Or would you have preferred the Ayuks, the Ridleys, even the Hopkinses of the world? Do you think he would entertain New England if the Patriots were willing to pay the most, both in terms of a draft pick, and salary. He has no guaranteed money going forward. You give him guaranteed money, he can talk all he wants about wanting to win. You give him guaranteed money in 2025 and 2026, yeah, he's going to listen. I think that's how you entice him. If he's a pure rental, he wants to win this year. But if you give him money in 25 and 26, he would listen to coming here, I think. Especially when you have a quarterback like Drake May. Does that change your timeline for Drake May if a receiver like Davante Adams is here? Would that get people like, I don't know, the Tom Curran's of the world who we talked to yesterday, mm-hmm, or Nink, who was just on with the Greg Hill show? Would that change? Like, we want him out there right now, Keith. We want, mm-hmm, him out there week one. We want him out there this week. It's not going to happen. We're frustrated about it.
No.
If Davante Adams is here, does that change the timeline for Drake May for those who are saying you got to wait until the situation's right? He's a number one.
So for you and me, yes, but I don't think for them. I think they're so dug in on it. And I think the thing that's scaring them away from playing Drake May is more the offensive line than it is the wideouts, right? Because I don't know how good Jalen Polk's going to be. I don't even know how good Pop on the Tape Douglas is going to be. I don't know how good Kayshon Booty's going to be, because those guys haven't really been given a great chance. Part of it is Jacoby Brissett is a below-average quarterback. The other problem is you're giving that below-average quarterback less time on most plays to find a receiver down the field or whatever it is. So I think, you know, Alex Van Pelt probably wouldn't be able to maximize Davante Adams. Jacoby Brissett wouldn't be able to do it. I'm not sure Drake May would be able to do it because of Alex Van Pelt and the offensive line. You know, if there was and you know me, I'd much rather talk receivers all day long, but if there was a left tackle who was shooting his way out of town, that would be the guy that they would have to pounce on. That would be the guy they'd have to throw a ton of money on, just so you can solidify that and take that away as an excuse, because that is what most people keep bringing up, mm-hmm, and that might be what Elliot Wolf and Van Pelt and Mayo are thinking as well, but I know it's what guys like Kern and Ninkovich and everybody else keep saying. Not behind that O-line, like Dan Orlovsky, not behind that O-line, not for all the money in the world would I play Drake May. And that's got way more to do with, you know, whatever the plan or lack of plan at the offensive line was compared to who they could throw to.
Speaking of the offensive line, this came out today. David Andrews, probably done for the year. It's a bit of a pain tolerance thing, although he could make the injury worse, the shoulder injury worse, by playing through it. He's considering surgery. My guess is he's done for the year.
Yeah, look around. Like, I know he's a great teammate. He's a great everything else. But if you're him, pain tolerance on a team that's going to win three games, like, dude, well, I'd get the surgery.
And, like, you know, I when I say pain tolerance, he can play through it, but there is a risk of making it worse. And so it's not purely pain tolerance. He could worse, okay, and miss even more time.
Yeah, shut it down.
So I'm guessing he's going to be done. Does that change the timeline for Drake May? Does that make it less likely to play Drake May?
I think so. I mean, based on the way things have gone to this point, they seem terrified to put him out there, even though he is the backup, and he was the backup week one. And so anytime Brissett goes down, and I know that's another thing, is people are waiting for that time where Brissett doesn't get up, right? Because there's been so many times where he is slow to get up, and he's, you know, he's wincing and everything else, and not having David Andrews in there is only probably going to make those times more often in the course of a game. So this kind of scares me, because I was praying that we'd see him week five. Doesn't look like we're going to. Then you're like, all right, maybe week six, maybe week seven. But remember the last time David Andrews wasn't in there, besides when the preseason, they couldn't even complete a snap.
They couldn't even hike the football.
That was a little bit better against the Niners. Yeah. Right? I was worried about that. I was like, no, Andrews. I'm like, is this ball going to be on the ground? Is it going to be over his head? Whatever it is. So they figured that out. But yeah, I think we're further away now to see Drake May than we were even yesterday.
Okay, I agree, it's not good news for wanting Drake May on the field anytime soon. That's a setback. That's an impediment. Would Davante Adams change the timeline? Where do you think Davante Adams goes? And should the Patriots place a call? Like, should they be in and kicking the tires and interested on Davante Adams? I say they definitely should call, and they should see what it costs. And I'm not one of these people that say the Patriots have no shot. Oh, Davante Adams wants to win, this and that. Well, if you give up the most in the trade and you pay him the most, you're going to have a foot in the door. 37937. Jones, the Patriots have nothing to offer Vegas. Wrong.
Well, that's not true. They might have the best second-round pick in the draft next year.
It's out there right now that it's going to take a second-round pick to get him. That probably means it's going to be a third or a fourth.
Yeah, true.
The Patriots have
multiple. You also have a high third.
They have multiple thirds, don't they?
I think they do.
So, like, they have plenty. They are in the game.
No, they might have the most. No, I think the Raiders would be thrilled with the Patriots deal. I don't think Davante Adams would be. And then how much of a hang up could that be?
So
but it's not the Raiders, though.
That's possible. You're not going to win here, and he knows that. But does he want to win or does he want the money? Because he has no more guaranteed money and he's popping off. It's probably a combination of the two, but you can satiate a player by giving them money.
I also think the people that are just completely writing it off, it's the Patriots were interested in Brandon Ayuk and they were interested in Calvin Ridley.
They've been looking for receivers.
Correct. High-end receivers. I would argue Adams is better than both. And probably won't cost you as much compensation-wise as Brandon Ayuk, only because of the age.
Yeah.
You know, but...
I agree. In terms of draft pick compensation, in terms of contract, I don't think he's going to cost you as much on either one.
And I don't think he's going to be as good as Law. The problem with Adams, and again, beggars can't be choosers, but he's not going to be somebody that's going to be with Drake May for a significant amount of time. But maybe he at least unlocks him. Maybe he at least shows early, like the Steph Diggs to Josh Allen. Josh Allen's still very good post-Steph Diggs, but he really like became another level player when he had Steph Diggs.
I think it's a good analogy. Ray on Twitter, at Jones and Keith, at Jones WEEI, Keith 21. Jones, I'm lost here. You want to trade for a diva who wants to win on a team that can't throw for 100 yards a game? Wake up, bro.
Well, you got to sit Brissett in this scenario, which, again, I don't know if they'll do that.
I also just, I want a, they need a receiver.
They do.
We all sit here and go, it's the worst wide receiver room in the NFL. We're like, how are they going to get a receiver? There's one that's available for, I think, a pretty reasonable cost. And, all right, fine, maybe he doesn't want you. You should be calling and asking and figuring that out. Elliot Wolf, if you're doing your job, should figure out if that's true. Does Davante Adams want to come here? Is he interested in playing here? Are you even going to have that conversation? 617-779-7937. That's coupled with the injury to David Andrews. Would Davante Adams change the Drake May timeline? Does the David Andrews injury, which is very unfortunate, change the timeline for Drake May? It sounds like he's going to be done for the rest of the year. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We're not going to be Patriots all day long. We'll circle back to Jeremy Swayman, Brad Marchand, with some interesting comments about that yesterday. We'll get to the Celtics as well. Who's the biggest threat to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference? The New York Knicks made a big move. We touched on it briefly on Monday. We'll circle back to that. And Jerod Mayo already losing the Patriots. Is that a realistic threat against his, first year as a head coach in the NFL? We'll get to that.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
We just all got to be on the same page, man. I mean, we got guys, just being honest. We got guys some guys just kind of being like kind of selfish, because guys, I get it. We're down. Guys want to make plays. I get it. But, everybody got to play as – I'm talking about defense. Everybody has to play at 11, as 11, and everybody got to, sacrifice to do what's best for the team, I know some guys want to make plays when we're down, trying to, get back in the game. But we got to just – keep going as a team and play team defense.
That was Devon Godchow, Patriots Monday.
Friend of the show.
WEEI, friend of the show.
Check out Chaw Talk on YouTube.
Let me tell you. Oh, no, subscribe.
Yeah.
And while you're there, hit up hashtag Dork. Dork Podcast. Give Dork a follow. Yeah. WEEI. You know, the Jones and Keith program, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he is...
Make sure you subscribe to the
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thank you, Devon. He's such an outlier, though. It's like, we asked Dietrich Wise, his favorite San Francisco 49er. He can't even ask it. With Godshow, we're like, oh, what's what happened with the defense against San Francisco? It was, like, something benign.
That's a no.
And then he was just like...
Right off the rip, like, he wanted to say
it. Oh, no. We didn't ask him, like, oh, were guys out there freelancing? I'm like,
so I tried.
How was the defense? He's like, we're selfish. We're all selfish a-holes. I'm like, oh, wow. Got it. I mean, I could... If you watch the video, and it's on Jones and Keefe on Twitter or Instagram. If you watch the video, we both, like, perk up. We're like,
hello.
What the hell? Somebody said something? What?
So it's funny, and I tried asking a follow-up. I probably should have done a better job, but I was trying to figure out, was that something that he said to the team after the game? Did the coaches say it to him? And he responded, he's like, well, I'm a veteran. I've been around the league a long time and whatever. So I'm sure he did tell guys. I'm sure some of those, even in-game, you know, when they're all huddled up, all the offense is on the field. Yeah. Now, you got to do it quick because the offense is on the field for a minute.
Yeah, so you have no real time.
The defensive huddles are quick on game day. But I'm sure after the game, they said that stuff. And I do think this is a great example of let's see what happens. You know, like, let's see how that impacts Sunday's game. Like, if they go out there and lay an egg, you're like, oh, boy. Like, this is now guys are turning on each other and be like, oh, yeah, I'm selfish. At least I'm making plays. And then, like, snipe.
Right.
Or maybe guys are like, yeah, you're right. And then they play a better game. Now, they have a great matchup with a bad fourth-string quarterback coming up on Sunday. So there is a chance the defense could look pretty good.
They're favored, Keith.
But, yeah, by a point.
I mean, as of last night, I didn't look again this morning, but as of last night, they were favored by a point at home against Miami.
You take three quarterbacks out, you sign a guy off the street, that'll do it.
I'm still shocked they're favored. Like, I'm still shocked.
I think it's because, well, they're home, and they look, Miami looks so bad against
the
Tennessee.
Tennessee. The Patriots haven't been competitive for two straight weeks.
No, they have not. When's Miami been competitive, though?
Good question.
Now, without Tua, they haven't.
Have they had no competitive games? I know quarterback play has been bad. I thought they were in their game 2 weeks ago.
I mean, we'll never know.
No,
there's
definitely,
no way.
They haven't scored a touchdown in 23.
31-10, 24-3, 31-12.
Jones, they're horrible.
They're the anti-2 weeks of the Saints.
All right, maybe the Patriots should be favored. Strike that from the record. I'm not used to seeing the Patriots favored in any games.
No, they weren't supposed to be at the beginning of the year. They were, if everybody's healthy. But that's what happens. Everybody's not healthy. Guys drop like flies. And this is an example. It's week five. And they're on their fourth quarterback. Miami is.
So we're talking about, a favored team this weekend. Would Davante Adams.
Better team.
Would Davante Adams consider coming to the Patriots? That's question number one. Should the Patriots be interested in Davante Adams? Question number two. And does that change the timeline for Drake May if you get someone like Davante Adams? That's question three. You can jump in on all of those at 617-779-7937. I get annoyed seeing some of the commentary on the text line, on Twitter, Twitch. It's like, oh, he's not going to come here. Like, the attitude to me is like, Elliot Wolf shouldn't even bother trying.
Yeah.
When I think he should call and he should put an offer and they should consider giving Davante Adams some money going forward, and I think you make it interesting to him. If he says no, he says no. But I hope the Patriots are kicking the tires and figuring out what it would take to get Davante Adams. And unfortunately, I'm not sold the Wolfpack is doing that. Like, I'm not sold they're calling Vegas about it. And that would be discouraging to me.
He's had a tough couple of months.
So if he says no, then whatever, he said no. But they should be trying.
So I get this too. And so Dubs in the chat is saying, does Devontae play left tackle? He's a wide receiver. He's not a left tackle.
No.
I'm with you. I get it. They need left tackles. They need guards.
But they also need receivers.
No, I know. But so my point is there aren't great Hall of Fame left tackle, left guards available right now. So does that mean you don't upgrade the roster anywhere else until you get those guys? So a receiver has become available. Yeah. Like Brandon Ayuk couple weeks ago was rumored to be wanting out of San Francisco. So they were interested. That was good. They were interested. You don't want to be the interest kings. You don't want to be the Red Sox.
No.
But they were interested.
But
that
you also don't want to be the team that doesn't even bother picking up the phone.
So like, oh, is he a left tackle? Hang up.
No.
Oh, is he a left tackle? Forget it.
Okay.
Like, well, you need to get players. They have the worst roster in the NFL.
Keith, you don't get it?
I don't.
You can't play Drake May until you have an offensive line, and you can't trade for wide receivers until you get an offensive line.
Got it.
That's all you got to do.
I think they should start prioritizing offensive line.
Punt on the year until you get an offensive line.
Oh, they
you can't
punt,
do anything
though.
Else.
Bryce Behringer? He's the best player on the team.
So until they get an offensive lineman, you can't play Drake May. You also can't call about wide receivers until you get a left tackle. Got it. That's good to know. So, let's just not play the football season.
So basically, you are, you're like, well, they'd be doing it out of order. Like taking a quarterback and then not playing them. So it would actually fit very much what the Patriots are doing.
Right on brand.
Get everything that you need out of order, and best, then that way you could sit one of your best players.
Best guy. The Patriots aren't at the top of the list. I just hope they're doing their job and calling.
So to answer your question, I would say the Patriots should be interested.
Uh-huh.
The Raiders should be interested in what the Patriots can offer.
Yeah, if it's the best draft pick.
Devontae Adams should not be interested. He should be interested in the Jets, Bills, maybe Saints. I don't know. People keep hyping up that Derek Carr relationship, but
they do like each other.
They're buds.
So, yeah,
they went to college
Fresno
together.
State, they played together in Vegas.
But I guess Saints. Like to me, the Saints are the third team in that division. But put that to the side. I think it should be the Jets and the Bills. The Chiefs make a ton of sense. I just don't think the Raiders would send him to Kansas City. They gotta have a little bit of pride.
So where do you think he winds up? I think that's stupid for the Raiders if they can get a second round pick from Kansas City and a third from everybody else. They should take it.
Yeah, I subscribe to that as well.
But yeah, I mean, I would understand teams think that way all the time. I just disagree with that logic.
I think it's gonna be the New York Football Jets.
That's where he winds up.
J-E-T-E Jets.
Say it again.
It's like they're a
New York J-E-T-E Jets.
They're a total mess, by the way.
J-E-T-E Jets.
Yeah, J-E-T-E. You know it. I had a good one years ago.
Jetties?
I couldn't spell Eagles. I was trying to do the Eagles chant.
It
wasn't close.
Okay.
It was further away than I care to admit.
Yeah, it starts double vowel. Not a lot of words start double vowel.
You get lost in the chant when you're not used to doing it.
I got it.
And so, look, the Jets would be interesting because they are such a mess. Like, I'm sure Garrett Wilson's already complaining about the offense. Aaron Rodgers and Saleh, I mean, when Aaron Rodgers isn't like shoving Saleh against the Patriots on national TV,
yeah,
they're sniping at one another about the cadence of the offense.
It probably won't work, but I feel like they should take a swing at it and go
for it. All right,
guys,
all gas?
It's no realist. Schefter says the top teams on Adams' list, and you said this earlier, are the Jets and the Saints. 617-779-7937. We also saw this video was making the rounds. Devontae Adams, very complimentary of Gerard Mayo as a black coach in New England. And I'm wondering already about the team culture, the locker room, and that Devon Godchow comment is a jumping off point for it. Is Mayo already at risk of losing the team? And I know Tom Curran would disagree with this. Curran thinks it's a good culture. Although when we pressed him on it, he was just saying it's a better culture than last year, which really to me isn't saying much.
Right. But so basically, and just to piggyback off of that point, I don't think you can really overstate the fact that last year was so bad.
Yeah.
No, that they fired the greatest coach of all time because of it.
Yeah.
That's how bad it got. So even Bill Belichick couldn't withstand that. So every single culture should be a little bit better than that is my point.
Yeah.
And so if the fact that it might not be much better is a concern, it's 1 month into the year, and like you saw last year, like losing magnifies everything. Winning can kind of hide some of the issues that you might have, but I can't imagine there's going to be a great deal of winning. They've lost three straight games. They've only played a quarter of the season.
So to me, you know, this idea that Mayo's going to change the culture and everybody's going to be happy and hunky-dory and, you know, on board with the approach. Well, that was all well and good, and it looked like a real thing in week one, and we were giving it credit in week one against Cincinnati. It's come undone on the field, which is one thing. They've lost three straight. They've been non-competitive 2 weeks in a row. Week two, and maybe this is why they've been non-competitive since then, coaching let them down against Seattle in that game, and maybe players lost confidence in the approach and the direction and everything else. And on top of that, you have players squawking openly on the radio like Devon Godchow, where, again, we weren't pressing the guy.
Love it.
We were just asking him questions about what happened on defense, and he's like, oh, yeah, we're selfish. And is he taking shots at Uche? Is he taking shots Keon White? Like, who's he talking about? Are they going to snipe back to your point?
Yeah.
Are we already at risk of Mayo losing the locker room? And Keith, if he can't keep the team culture in a good place and he can't keep the vibes high, then what does he do?
High vibes.
Like, what does he do? If he's not a good vibes guy and keeping the team happy and the locker room happy, what does Gerard Mayo do? I thought that's what he did.
It's going to be tough.
And so already we're a month in, and he's at risk of losing the one thing that everybody thought he could do.
And I also think he is at more risk of letting things slip away a little bit because of the injuries right now. And David Andrews, if David Andrews doesn't play the rest of the season, that's the one kind of adult that you have, a kind of constant you have on offense. And Juwan Bentley is done for the year on defense. So your two most veteran players, the two guys that you probably rely on to keep everybody else in check, right? Like, if there's a little bit of a mutiny going on, I think Andrews could be like, guys, knock it off, and they'd listen to Andrews. Same thing on defense. I think guys would listen to Bentley. You take them off the field, you now have even more inexperience on the field. You add losing, people are going to start sniping. And so, you know, we highlighted this at the time. If somebody with the lack of resume of Pop Douglas feels like he can kind of squawk.
I kind of forgot about that one. That's another good one.
He's never scored a touchdown.
Right.
He's never scored an NFL touchdown, and he's like, he needs the ball more and all this other stuff. And then they give into it, and they're like, yeah, let's feed him. Let's feed him the rock. Even though we're a running team going up against a team 2 weeks ago that doesn't really stop the run all that well, let's feed Pop Douglas. So, yeah, it's ugly, and I think every loss is only going to make it worse. That's another reason why this game on Sunday so big, because it's a winnable game, right? Oh, you lost to the Jets and the Niners. Okay. A lot of teams are going to lose to the Niners.
You lose to the Dolphins at home in a game you're favored.
Snoop Huntley. Yeah, you're not going to be favored very often.
No.
And if you lose this one, it piles it up. It's four straight losses. And then you're like, all right, if we can't beat these guys, like, what are we doing here? And it could get ugly. Because also, it feels like Godchow's statement about guys being selfish, it's all about how they respond to that. You know, like, maybe they take it. Maybe they're like, all right, he's a veteran guy in the league.
100%.
Like, maybe he's right. You know what? I was getting a little crazy there. If we just play team defense, we can be good. Because he was also, in other answers, he was very confident in the team.
Oh, he was bullish on
the
team.
He's like, we're good. He's like, we're not playing very well, but he's like, we're a good team and we can be a lot better. So yeah. I'm like, okay.
I mean, make no mistake. That's made some news. That comment that he had on this show, that's made some news. Players have heard about it. Players know about it. So how do they respond? Do they respond by saying, screw that guy? He doesn't know what he's doing. I'm the one out here making plays. Or for a week, do they keep contained in the pocket and have some pride and respond to it? We're going to find out. But I agree, Sunday's a big game for that. And Mayo's grasp on the locker room. And if he doesn't have that, what does he do? I'd like to hear answers. It's 617-779-7937. It's Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to that about a half an hour from now. We'll get back into Drake May and his timeline to get on the field. Are we going to see him at any point this year? Plus, let's get back to Jeremy Swayman and the Bruins. Brad Marchand had some interesting comments about Jeremy Swayman. He thinks a deal's going to get done. Why? And does he have a point? We'll get to it next.
I think the biggest thing, I wouldn't say it's hard to keep it out of the room. Even today and after, there's not a whole lot of talk about it. We all understand the situation that the team and Sway are in. This is part of the game. It's part of the business. It's a part that nobody enjoys. Eventually a deal is going to get done and everyone's going to move on and be fine. You know, one of the biggest things is stress and pressure of when these negotiations are going on. But, you know, when you're dealing with a term deal, you know, once it's signed, there's so much weight that gets lifted off, not just the player's shoulder, but the team. And, you know, then it's just all about coming together and finding a way to win and building towards that goal. So we all care about Sway. You know, we want to see him back. And but again, this is, it's part of the business that sometimes guys go through, and every player goes through it at some point. It'll be over and everyone will move on.
Brad Marchand yesterday, at some point it'll be over and everybody will move on.
You sure about that?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, I think he's hoping that at some point, he's not going to pick a date, but Swayman gets a deal done, he gets back on the ice, and people forget about it, they move on, and he just plays. That's what I think he's hoping. That's what he's wishing for.
Right, but you think he's trying to speak it into existence? That's wish casting.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that is not...
Of course.
I don't think there's
things are going great. You know, the team president came out and it was like blasted him. Then the agent had to come out, blasted him, like, called him a liar.
Marchand is part of the Bruins leadership. So part of me wants to say, all right, he's the captain. Like, does he know something?
He's got the C.
But I don't think I think that's just pure wish casting. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I think that's what
It'll get figured out and we'll all move on.
Well, it's funny because Marchand not too long ago was asked about his own contract and he was saying how he would never talk about it, right? He's like, I'm not going to do that in the media. And yet both Jeremy Swayman and Cam Neely have decided to do the other thing. They've both felt like it is a good place to negotiate through the media. So I don't know who Marchand's more annoyed at. If you had to ask him right now, like, are you more annoyed about
Swayman? I bet he's
Swayman?
He's more annoyed at Swayman.
Maybe. I mean, I guess of all the guys, right? Like, he has played for under value, I would say, most of his career.
That's why. Yeah. I mean, that's why I think he'd be more pissed at Swayman than the team. Because...
Like, dude, I've been in this. I probably could have squeezed out a few more million myself.
Yeah,
but
David Pastrnak... I said yesterday, you were like, wait, you think Pastrnak's overpaid? I don't think Pastrnak's overpaid, But I do think the Bruins extended for Pastrnak, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that was probably the one they were the most uncomfortable doing.
11.25 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, McAvoy is 9.5. Like, those guys have... They have nothing to say.
Sam Hauser sneezes at this money,
by the way. But they have nothing to say to Jeremy Swayman. They're well paid. They're paid at the top of the market. They have nothing to say to him.
But also, Marchand, too, is one of the few guys on the team that's like, we got to get going this year. Like, this year and next year. Like, I can't wait around for Swayman. Like,
Pastrnak's young. McAvoy's young. They're paid at the top of the market at their position. Marchand has never had a contract like that, ever.
No.
And he's running out of time. And he's the captain. And he's part of this culture with Chara and Bergeron, which I always thought was stupid, but they all took less than they could have, and there was some sacrifice. And so Marchand's the one guy on the team. And I have a blind spot for him anyway,
You're
if we're being
fan.
Honest.
Yeah.
But Marchand's the one guy on the team.
Dirty player.
Who I go, that's why I like
him. I don't know how you can respect it.
He goes, I would get him being like, what are you doing, dude? What's your problem? Get out here. Let's go.
Well, talking to Raycroft.
Everybody else on the team, like, I don't want to hear from Lindholm and Zadorov and McAvoy and... Pastrnak being like, what are you doing? Get out here. Shut up. You guys are all well paid. You're all paid at the top of the market.
Yeah.
He wants what you guys have. Marchand, I get. He's the one guy I get.
Yeah, well, it's funny. When we were talking to Andrew Raycroft yesterday, he was saying how, you know, most players probably are like, hey, you know, it is a business. You got to get your money. And then, all right, practices start, preseason starts, still no deal.
Yeah.
Games are coming around. Like, their first regular season game is less than a week away. And so he's obviously not playing in that one. Montgomery already talked about it. Like, even if he signs this second, he's got to get back into hockey shape. And
Montgomery's
else,
like, so he could sign today, and we're still starting Corpus Allo game one.
Spoiler, he's not going to sign today. So
scoop?
Nah, not a scoop. Actually, that could backfire.
Okay.
No, not a scoop. Take it back.
I'll lean on that.
My guess is he does not sign today. But yeah, Corpus Allo next Tuesday is going to start, and then who knows when. You know, just like a pitcher in baseball or whatever, it's like, all right, the guy gets back into camp. How long does it take to get him to be game ready? And then even when he's quote unquote game ready, how really ready is he? Like, is there going to be rust that he has to knock off in the regular season? That's the whole reason why they're playing 8 preseason games or 7, whatever it is.
I mean,
you know, he's not going to have any of that.
Not to, you know, bring up another discussion that we've had, but like Brandon Ayuk, we just spent all last week talking about him. Brandon Ayuk, he held out. He came into camp late. He didn't have an off season. He doesn't look like the same player. I mean, let's say they sort it out. Let's say Swayman blinks and Swayman takes their deal and he takes 8 at 8, $64 million, and he's back in the first month of the year. Let's say it all works out that way. That sounds good. That's what Marchand's talking about on the surface.
Yeah, it might be a little rusty.
Well, it's a good point. What does he look? Yeah. He hasn't had an off season, you know, and I'm sure he's training and he's doing everything on his own. But as we learned with Brandon Ayuk and, you know, Travis Kelce gallivanting around with Taylor Swift, CeeDee Lamb, we had on that list earlier. He had a better Thursday night.
He's fine.
Doing fine.
He shook it off.
But that's,
I know, that's terrible.
But that's a real, I think, consideration that we haven't talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say everything gets worked out and they do agree, like Marchand said. What's Swayman going to look like? What's the guarantee he's going to be the same guy? I mean, I'm very pro Swayman on this, but that's a real consideration.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially if you're sinking, you know, $8 million into the guy. That is your third highest paid player. So you are expecting him. Not every team pays the goalie crazy. So you are paying a lot for this guy. You expect him to be a top five goalie for the whole season. Like, that would be the anticipation if you are, you know, eventually sign a deal.
Okay.
Oh my God.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Okay, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, is, I would say, furthering reporting by Mark Daniels this morning at Mass Live. So give him credit on the original report. But Rap Sheet says, Patriots center and captain David Andrews expected to have surgery to repair a significant shoulder injury and will likely be placed on season-ending injured reserve, sources say. So that's furthering something I think we already knew, but that's an update to the David Andrews story, which, again, complicates the timeline, I'd imagine, for Drake May.
Remember when they had 2 good offensive linemen? Now they have 1, and he's playing out of position.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but this was the reason you start him week 1, Drake.
Yeah. No, because everyone's like, oh, they're going to get better. It's like, no, they also could get worse. No. The offensive linemen almost never play all 17 games, it feels like.
The offensive line is falling apart. If Drake May had a chance, it was week 1.
Yeah.
Now the offensive line has disintegrated. And
who's the starting center now?
Nick Leverett.
Tim Neverett? Is that who we got out there?
Tim Neverett.
That's not going to get it done.
On Dodgers radio, I think.
Is that right?
I believe that's where Tim Neverett is.
Yeah. Gonna have a big run there with the squad.
Yeah, it's another guy who'd say no to the Patriots.
Food. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Yeah, it's not great.
I think maybe the next move is veteran quarterback. Honestly, like, I think they're going to be so scared to play Drake May now because they already were scared with David Andrews.
Are you? We're both pro playing Drake May right now.
I'd play him this second, too. No matter what.
Even behind if, Nick
even
Leverett,
even if Tim Neverett goes down and they got to bring in a fourth guy, I don't care. Like, I'm playing Drake May.
So we agree on that.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think the Patriots
might be spooked by it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're spooked by everything else. They're probably spooked by this.
So Jacoby Brissett, at some point, you know, you fingers crossed that it doesn't happen. But if he gets hurt, guess who's going in? Drake May, despite everybody being terrified of it, he would go in. So I wonder, you know, forget about Davante Adams. Are they calling Ryan Tannehill and Ben DiNucci and all these other guys that played quarterback recently?
I mean, they got to pick a lane on this one.
Yeah.
Because with the offensive line banged up, it does increase the likelihood that Jacoby Brissett gets hurt, and you have to throw Drake May out there no matter what.
Yeepers.
So the anyone but Brissett movement.
ABB.
I hear that's picking up steam, by
is
the
that
way,
right?
Around Boston. I hear others have latched onto that
they
movement.
They should. Hop on the train.
Interesting. That was what Keith was talking about earlier this week, but I guess that's picked up some steam.
Well,
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the Bruins. Jeremy Swayman. What does he look like if and when they even agree to something? Is Marchand onto anything about a deal getting worked out? And how should a guy like Brad Marchand feel about Jeremy Swayman holding out? Is he pissed at Swayman? Is he pissed at the team? Is he indifferent about it? You can jump in there on the phones. You can also text the show at 37937. Let's get back into Drake May. Will we see him at all this year? I'm starting to wonder. That's next.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.